that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety, the podcast from Lighthouse Hockey. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me this Sunday evening via Skype is my friend Michael Leboff. And Mike, the Islanders have done it. They've done what a lot of us thought was impossible, and they've clinched a playoff spot and are going to continue on after next Saturday's game against the Capitals.
Yeah, fucking right, Dan. Fucking right. Playoffs, baby.
That's right.
So good. Yeah. It was one of the nicest couple days, I guess, you know, starting with that Jets game. And then obviously, I mean, it wasn't a doubt in my mind they were going to win that game against the Sabres. So, you know, usually when like a game like that, and this is basically every game, I was just like, this team isn't going to lose this game. They're too, after that magical Jets game, I was like, there's just no way. And usually that's an egg on my face, and they usually find a way to lose, but no, it wasn't. It was just from the second that puck dropped, it was the Islanders basically playoff clinching party all night. It was awesome.
That was about as satisfying a game in that situation as we could have hoped for. Like, that was, you know, we all wanted them to come out and just, you know, they knew they had to win. We all knew the situation. They had to win the game. I mean, yeah, they could have gotten in with a Montreal loss, but they wanted to win that game, and a win guaranteed a clinching of a playoff spot. And they came out, and from the opening puck drop, we're not going to let up until they won that game. And it was only 1-0 after one period. But the only reason it wasn't 5-0, I mean, it ended up being 5-1, but the only reason it wasn't 5-0 in that first period was because Carter Hutton was outstanding. I mean, he made, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he made like 20 saves in that one period. And kept the Sabres in it, even though they didn't deserve it as a team. And then the second period was more the same, although the Islanders ended up taking a 3-0 lead after that period. So, yeah, no, it was awesome. And like you said, that Jets game before it kind of has a little bit gotten lost in the shuffle. But, man, that was probably the most exciting game of the year. And, yep. Again, like you said, I mean, not a game that the Islanders typically have won in the last little while, you know, coming down from 2 goals down with about 5 minutes to go to win it. And so, yeah, that's been the theme of this season, winning games that you didn't expect them to win, basically.
Yeah, I thought that Jets game was just what the doctor ordered coming off the Columbus loss. And it was just nice to see them to win a game that was, you know, a little back and forth, because most of the time when, you know, their recipe for success has been, you know, by limiting back and forthness to games and keeping it structured and keeping the game to be as predictable as possible. And you know, I think that game just kind of showed them that they could win, you know, in a different environment, a different game style.
Yeah, they ended up outshooting the Jets by 43-36, which is,
they deserved to win that game. Like, I thought it was going to be, you know, a moral victory game, and they all of a sudden, you know, Jordan Eberle scored, you know, 6 times in like the last 3 minutes of that game. It felt like every time he was on the ice, he had a chance, and finally one or two of them went in. And the way I felt after that game, you know, there are a couple regular season games that really stick in my mind. Like, I can remember them almost like perfectly. And I talked about the game against the Penguins when Mike Sillinger scored with like a minute left in regulation after a dominant defensive shift that he and Andy Hilbert, who's now on a two-week streak of being mentioned on this podcast. So congratulations to Andy Hilbert and Trent Hunter. They had a really good defensive shift against the Crosby line. And they went the other way and scored on a counterattack. And I think that game was 6-5 in February. And like, I remember that game perfectly. And I remember this one. Like, I don't think I'll ever forget the Jets game. That
yeah.
It was a regular season game. Sure, it was a big one, but I mean, it's still a regular season game. And just the way that Islander fans reacted after that game, you saw how much it meant. And like, for a second, I was like, maybe I'm overreacting. Then I opened up Twitter and saw like the absolute party that was going on. And I was like, all right, I'm definitely not. Like, I'm going to enjoy this.
There's something like sort of, metaphoric about that game, or metaphorical, whatever it is. But you know, you start out, it's 1-0 after 13 seconds, and it's 2-0 after 6 minutes. And like, we have seen that script play out before. We saw it last year, you know, Doug Wade hockey. We've seen it on a Jack Capuano. They just, you know, it's just not their night. They're off kilter. They're out of sync defensively, and the other team is pretty damn good. And you're in their building, and well, it's off the rails right from the beginning. But you know, Barzal scores in that sort of partial breakaway, and it's 2-1, and you're like, oh, okay. So, you know, and towards the end of that first period, they kind of started to shift the ice a little bit towards their end, and things were looking okay. And then the second period, they were phenomenal. I mean, they outshot the Jets 20-8, but the Jets ended up taking a 3-1 lead, and you're like, oh boy, I guess not. And so, but they came back. The Islanders kept hanging around. The Jets made it 4-2 at one point, and now you're like, well, I guess that's it. But then Eberle scores, right? And then, oh, no, who was it that scored first? I thought it was Ryan Pulock actually got the third goal right after the Jets had made it 4-2. Ryan Pulock scores to make it 4-3. And then Casey Cizikas ties it with a minute and a half to go. And you're just like, holy cow, they did it. They came back. They were pressing and pressing and pressing, playing really well. And then they tied it. And with a minute and 13 seconds, it was a minute and 30 seconds to go. And I'm sure I was thinking, I'm sure a lot of other people were thinking, like, okay, this is great. Get to overtime. You've salvaged a point. Good work. You did it. But that's not how these Islanders think. And after that, as soon as that goal was scored, they came right back on the ice, and Matt Barzal was right back into the Jet zone again. And, you know, he carries it deep, which is what he's been told to do. And he kicks it out to Lee and Eberle, who was right behind him, supporting him, which is what he's supposed to do. And Eberle scores, and it's 2 goals in 30 seconds. Now you got a minute and 13 left. And the Jets really had no kind of push at that point. They spent a tiny bit of time in the Islander zone. But when it was over, it was almost like too much to kind of even comprehend. Like, did they just do what I think they just did? And the reaction from Leonard, because they were in the Islander zone when the game ended, his reaction and Lee and Cizikas, they were all kind of right there. And their reaction, their hugging and everything, was just absolutely inspiring. It was priceless. It was awesome.
It was inspiring. I've seen Henrik Lundqvist celebrate in the blue paint 600 times in my life like that, you know? And I've always just thought about, you know, like, oh, you know, those type of wins just don't really happen that often to the Islanders, where the goalie, who's usually very cool and the game's already in hand, so you just like skate to that. To see that, that was awesome. I mean, I thought it was a big deal that he celebrated like that. I really did. I was like, this is awesome. Like, I can't believe I'm watching this. I can't. And then Lee tackled like 8 different teammates throughout the night in different celebrations.
When he tackled Eberle into the goal, I started laughing. I was like, oh my God, these guys are.
I just felt like I was with them. I like wanted. Yeah. But physically, my body wanted to get up and like jump on something, like a doggy pile situation. And very hard not to get emotional about that.
And it was, and you know, again, they knew the situation going in, and we're going to talk a little bit about this later. But I feel like, you know, this incarnation of the Islanders has been connected to the fan base, I think, in a more deep way than they have been. I mean, there's always been that connection there, as you astutely pointed out several episodes ago. You know, we're Islanders, like, and so the team name is kind of like a thing. It's a connection. They're not just some sort of arbitrary name made up for the locals. It's, you know, for the team, it represents the locals, and there's always been that connection there. But I feel like this team is connected to the fan base in a very special way because of the predictions prior to the season. Obviously the John Tavares thing, the coach coming in and literally changing how the team thinks, which is pretty remarkable, you know, from all the players on down. And I feel like they get it. And so they all know, you know, we've had Jack Capuano say like, oh, well, you know, we don't look at the standings. We just try and win. We don't worry about where we are. We're just trying to, you know, get into the playoffs. Meanwhile, Barry Trotz is like, no, we need points because our magic number is this, that, and the other thing. So they know what the situation is. They know they needed to win that game. And to win in a place like Winnipeg, where not a lot of teams end up winning. And I mean, and if you read Jets writers, like our friends at Arctic Ice Hockey and others, they were like, man, the Jets defense just totally collapsed under these guys, and they pressed it, and hey, the Islanders deserve to win that game. You know, there was no like, oh, sour grapes. Like, they knew that they had been outplayed in their own building by the Islanders, who needed those points. And so coming off, especially coming off of that loss in Columbus, which was very, very deflating, the Winnipeg game was almost the exact opposite. And then you come into Saturday's game, again, needing a victory to clinch. They want to clinch. They want to get in with a victory. And I mean, I almost feel bad for the Sabres because they had no chance in that game. None. Like, they, from the moment they landed at LaGuardia or whatever and got, like, they had their game, that game was over. And even Arthur Staples said, you know, he's covered some bad teams in his career, but man, those guys were, they just didn't want to be there. They didn't really start playing until about, there were 6 minutes left in the game when one of them got their first NHL goal. And hey, good for you, but this was not your night, dude. Like, it just wasn't happening. And it was not a game we've seen from the Islanders before. And hopefully we could see them a couple more times, you know?
Yeah, I was sure that the Islanders were going to win once I saw that tweet making the rounds that, you know, Kyle Okposo was leading the stretches, yeah, and was like, you know, pointing out to the Sabres, who I guess didn't really understand that the Islanders used to be good.
Well, I guess a lot of his teammates hadn't played there, which I didn't realize.
Yes, exactly. But, yeah.
But how awesome is Kyle Okposo? Like, honestly.
Yeah, it made me think, like, all right, when the Islanders win the Stanley Cup this season, like, we should send him a ring. Just be like, this is, you know, you were part of this. And yeah. And I did like also how the Coliseum fan, I mean, more credit to Islander fans for giving him a hearty, you know, welcome back to the Coliseum. You know, and Brendan Burke was, it wasn't lost on Brendan Burke that they did that, and then 2 days,
yeah,
2 days later, Tavares comes back. So it's just, yeah, like, you know, it just goes to show you, like, this is a guy who treated the Islanders with a lot of respect from, honestly, I wouldn't say his first couple of years, sure, there was like some up and down, but Okposo then really grew up. We watched him grow up and loved being an Islander, and it didn't work out, obviously, and yeah, he's now kind of turned into this new phase of his career where he is the elder statesman for the Sabres and has been on some bad teams and is trying to like lead them through what he went through on the island. And I think he understood like what was going to happen that night almost. And that's why he pointed, he's like, listen, like this could be us. Hmm. This could be you guys. Like we could be the team doing this next year. And when I saw that going, making rounds, it's just like, he knows what's coming. Like he's not preparing them for battle, basically. He's preparing, like, listen, like, you're going to be very jealous on this side of the bench of what's going to happen over there because this is a team and a fan base. And, I mean, the Sabre fan base is, you can, I guess, say is a little similar to the Islanders because it's an area where it's, like, you know, it gets dumped on a lot. Like, yeah, who wants to live in Buffalo? Like, you hear those jokes a lot, and they take a lot of pride in being the right butt end of the joke. So it's, but so like they would have a very similar reaction to, yeah, to doing something like this. And I think that was the point Okposo was making to them. And it, as soon as I saw that coming out, I'm like, this is going to be great. Like this game is going to be a celebration. And it really was.
I find it funny that
all the way to the end.
I find it funny that like you can say that the two guys that really love being Islanders more than anybody else of that kind of group, like demonstrably, like I'm sure they all did, as everybody does. And I'm sure, I mean, as much as we boo John Tavares, I'm sure he did too. But Matt Martin and Kyle Okposo, I think there's just something about them that seems genuine. And it seems like when you say they love being Islanders, you really get that sense that they did. And in both cases, they weren't offered contracts by Garth Snow, who was in charge at the time, or at least they weren't negotiated with and weren't given serious contract offers until it was far too late. And at that point, they were basically already gone. And, you know, Matt Martin's already back. And I'm not saying I would love to have Kyle back, although I guess I would. And, you know, and he's not quite the player that he was when he left. But, yeah, you know, there's something about them that just seems like they really loved and appreciated being here. And, you know, that goes a long way. And it is funny how, like, the receptions are completely different. Both guys left as free agents, but the reception for Kyle Okposo is completely different than the reception that John Tavares gets. And it's just funny, you know. But, I mean, it makes total sense to us, but I don't know if I could explain it to anybody else. You know, like, you have to kind of be an Islanders fan to understand the difference there. And just, mm-hmm, it's very subtle, yeah, you know.
There were layers to Oposo's relationship with the island. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, this team and had a lot of history. Like, it wasn't the boilerplate. Like, he got the chip on the shoulder nature,
yeah,
of being an Islander, and that's, and you could just tell right away, yeah, I mean that really when I saw that, I sent that to my buddy Mike, and he was like, I want Oposo back so badly every day, and I'm like, I would too, like I just, yeah. You know, he'd just be a great guy to have around again, and
yeah,
but
not at that contract, but still, yes, I would too.
Yeah, no, like it's just like abstract right. version of Kyle Oposo, where he's just like this great guy that has loved being an Islander, like, but yeah, and to have him in that building for that night, like, I mean, it must have been emotional for him too to just be like, this team is basically what Tavares and Hamonic and like that core, like this is the type of team they wanted the whole time, team that took that everything that was thrown at them. And bottled it up and just threw it back in everyone's faces, and yeah. that's what we've finally got. Like, we finally have this opportunity now where it's just like these, like, we're like this little villain that could almost, like, this team that nobody counted on, nobody still wants to root for, and they're just doing it. Like, the ugly stepchild yeah. is here, and they have now ruined so many people's season.
And they know it too. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they know it. They get what we feel, and they know it. Because they're not dumb. Like, they read the papers and read the same websites and Twitter accounts that we do, and so they know. And, you know, my favorite part of the whole game, and again, it was a celebration, like you said. I mean, from minute one, the Sabres had no chance. But, and, you know, Beauvillier had two goals, which is great to see. Barzal looked like Barzal. It was awesome. But my favorite part of the whole game was, with about a minute and change to go, Brendan Burke started rattling off all of the different outlets that had basically written the Islanders off during the summertime, or at least prior to the season. I'm going to play that clip here right now for those that didn't get the chance to hear it live, or if you did, please enjoy it again, because it is completely awesome. So here it is right now.
The Sporting News picked the New York Islanders to finish last place in the Metropolitan Division, estimated they would finish with 75 points. USA Today picked them 27th overall. Sports Illustrated the same, a bottom five team. ESPN, 26th overall. 17 of the 18 writers at NHL.com picked the Islanders to miss the playoffs. Shout out to Brian Compton for being the one who thought the Islanders would sneak into the playoffs. They have not snuck into the playoffs. The Islanders are about to pick up points number 98 and 99 on the season. Locked down a playoff spot. They're in control of home ice advantage in the first round and will have a chance over the final three to potentially win the Metropolitan Division.
I mean, that's just the coolest thing ever. And again, when I talk about like a connection yeah. with the fan base and a connection with what we're thinking and having like your finger on the pulse of the fan base, I mean, is there anybody that has a better finger on the pulse of his fan base than Brendan Burke, who literally brings up exactly what we're thinking? And, like, that's just awesome. I mean, I can't even put into words how awesome it is.
My favorite thing about him is he hasn't really shied away from kind of I don't want to say stoking the flames, because he's not doing that, but, like, I've watched that Tavares, his first game back, a lot of times, like, more than I should probably care to admit. and just, like, during it, he's not ever really saying what, you know, the rest of the media were saying about Islander fans maybe, like, should respect this guy or whatever. He gets it. Like, this guy left and whatever. And he even made some – he made a joke about Oposo and Tavares in the broadcast last night. Like I said, like, it wasn't lost on him that Oposo's here, got a nice reception, and 2 days later it's Tavares. Like, this guy gets it. And it's just, like, another part of this whole – you know, whatever, Matt, like, fairy tale ride. Like, he's in a good, great character to kind of be to serve as narrator for our fairy tale. Like, he's like you said, finger on the pulse. Yeah. That was awesome to listen to. I've listened to it like six or seven times now.
we've been very lucky. At least, I mean, in just my lifetime alone, the Islanders have had Jigs McDonald, Howie Rose, and now Brendan Burke. I mean, that's an unbelievable run of quality play-by-play broadcasters that I guarantee almost no other team in any sport has ever had. I mean, yeah, you got like Bob Miller or something who does the Kings games for 50 years, but like to have those three guys all call your team's games for a combined, you know, 30, 40, whatever years, that's outstanding. And I mean, each of them has, they're not the same guy. They're all different. You know, I mean, Jigs and Eddie was one thing, and Howie and Eddie was another thing. And then Howie and Billy and Howie and Joe and Howie and Butch. And now Brendan and Butch, like, they're all different, but we're just incredibly lucky to have these people. And when he started saying all that stuff and you know, talking 17 of the 18 NHL.com writers all picked the Islanders to miss the playoffs, and shout out to Brian. And as soon as he said that, I'm like, I think I know who it was that probably picked the Islanders to make the playoffs. And sure enough, it was our friend Brian Compton. But, you know, I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, nobody picked this team. And I mean, when I say nobody, I mean us too. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like,
I was just about to say, me and you, if you go listen to like the, probably the first three or four episodes of the season, like we're like, all right,
we've given up.
This team is going to suck.
Yeah. Like
we gave up in the middle of the summer. Yeah. I didn't think about. I try not to think about the Islanders forever. And they, what's the Sopranos quote? You know what? They pull you right back in.
Yeah, that's Godfather. Godfather 3.
Yeah, the Godfather, right? Yeah, and then Silvio does it in the Sopranos, like the first episode. But like. Yeah, I thought if you had asked me where the Islanders would finish this season, I would have told you probably like 8 points out of the playoffs, whatever the worst possible situation was, where they would miss out on like a good lottery chance and not make the playoffs.
Yeah. What is it? Because there's somebody who does, is it Micah on Twitter who does like the fan misery or something like that?
Yes,
like,
yes.
It's like, yeah, you're just bad enough to miss the playoffs, but you're not good. You're just good enough to get a bad lottery pick. So I guess that might be the Flyers now, might be what in that boat, right? I don't know, something like that. But yeah, it's just, it's amazing. And I mean, even our Lighthouse Hockey crew of Mike B., the great Mike B., the only one of us who said, hell yeah, the Islanders are going to make the playoffs. Everybody else was like, eh, I don't think so. I can't see it happening. And my answer was like, you know, crazy shit happens in the NHL all the time. We just saw an expansion team in the cup final. Like, and that could happen. But the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, this is not like a weird shit happens situation. Like, this is a team that has completely changed how it operates on the ice, off the ice, whatever. And that's not just some kind of – this isn't some kind of like crazy anomaly like, you know, the team that's outrunning its, you know, Corsi and, you know, they're just going to crash sometime. Like, this is a team that is operating now like a playoff team is supposed to operate. And it's – nobody could have expected this. Like, nobody could have seen this coming. So, you know, I don't feel bad that – it doesn't bother me that people pick the Islanders to not be in the playoffs before the season. What bothers me is that nobody's ever going to come out and say – yes, I was wrong, and I'm glad to be proven wrong, and this is why they play the games, basically, like Chris Berman used to say. Nobody's going to say that, unfortunately. They're just going to be like, oh, the Islanders, you know, defied expectations. Yeah, they were your expectations.
And nobody – I went on Twitter before this episode. I was, you know, looking on, and I was like, you know, I'm going to do this to myself. I'm going to go look at Darren Drager. I want to see if Darren Drager mentioned that the Islanders clinched the playoffs last night, because
I know where you're going with this. Yeah.
It's got to be the best story in the NHL. Like this team that everyone, you know, and he didn't. So then I went to Pierre LeBrun. Didn't. Like, nobody did. The only people that did were the NHL, because they have to, and NBC Sports.
Yeah.
And like it's
right. Well, Elliot Friedman retweeted me. Right. So that's one thing. We'll talk about that clip in a second.
But even the Robin Leonard thing. Right, so Robin Leonard is here, and he's an absolute hero, like an absolute hero for what he's been through, having a sensational season, willing the Islanders to the playoffs in some respects, because, like, you know, when the Islanders were dipping, Leonard won them a bunch of games. He's got, what, 5 shutouts. Mm. He's been awesome. He's a definite – should be in the Vezina conversation. This guy's penning an unbelievable story in a time where we're very – aware, and people always want to talk about mental health as, like, you know, this is a real issue. And if Robin Leonard played for the Toronto Maple Leafs, even if he was the backup, or if he was Garrett Sparks, like, this guy would be there would be a statue built for him already outside of the Air Canada Center. Like, I know people have given him his due, but last night, seeing that interview with him, and I don't know why that wasn't, you know, and I know it's obviously because he cursed, but like, why more people weren't just like, this guy, listen to the crowd chant for this guy. Like, I don't understand why he's not the player specific story this season.
Yeah. Well, and then, no, you're 100% right. And then, this morning, I think it was this morning, John Shannon was like, there is some irony in the fact that Lou Lamoriello's new team, you know, written off before the season started, has clinched a playoff berth before his old team. And it's like, John, we've been saying that all night. Because while the Islanders were clinching a playoff berth against the Sabres, beating the shit out of the Sabres, the Leafs were getting their butts beaten by the Ottawa Senators, who are the worst team in the league. So, you know, yeah, that's, you know, but that's just how it is. I mean, they're just, again, they're not going to care, and this is for us. So, but we're going to talk more about Robin Leonard. We're going to talk about this team in general and the season that has happened right after these messages. So by now you have probably seen the clip of Robin Leonard that Mike alluded to earlier in the episode, where he's being interviewed by the great Shannon Hogan, and he, before he even answers her question, he, you know, says, "Playoffs, baby, playoffs," and then he applauds the crowd and he says, "Fucking right.
Tonight. Oh. Playoffs, baby. Playoffs. Fucking right."
And he's just overcome with emotion. I captured it and tweeted it. About a dozen other people captured it and tweeted it in various ways, and it's all over the place. And I mean, if that's not what this season is all about, I don't know what to tell you. And like, people kind of getting lost in, "Whoa, that's really classy of him." Yeah, dude, shut up. Like, honestly, there was a lot of those responses, and just those are the people that just aren't going to get it. But I mean, that's what this season's all about. Like, you know, telling everybody, you know, back haters back off, like that kind of thing. It's just, you guys wrote us off, and yeah, you're right, we're fucking here. That's the whole thing. And so, you know.
Yeah, I was actually thrilled when he mentioned that too in the interview. He was just like, "Everybody picked us," and he even said, like, "They're going to keep picking against us," basically. And I was like, this guy, he just gets it. He is totally in the moment and is under. He's like, this is a magical ride that he's on, and he knows it. And it's great to see that he appreciates that we're also on this ride with him, and we appreciate that, like, just as much as what he's going through. I just want him to be named first star every game, so he keeps coming out like that. Or yeah, even if he's like not, just be like, "Let's just bring out Leonard." Yeah. Please.
This is like the third episode in which we've talked about him coming out and like getting the first star and making, you know, being really appreciative of it, you know, and like kind of that, just really enjoying it. Like, for most people, they come out and they wave, or they throw a puck in the crowd and they walk off. They talk to Shannon, they give her a couple of answers and they walk off. But this dude is like, yeah, he's in the moment. Like, he's there, and this is. When he says, "I've never experienced anything like this in his career," I 100% believe him. I didn't watch a lot of his games when he played for Ottawa or for Buffalo, but I 100% believe him when he says that he has not experienced anything like this before in his career.
Yeah, he's never made the playoffs. He's one of the guys on the team, along with like Barzal and Beauvillier. Like, these guys haven't made the playoffs. It's their first ride, and like, that is, even if Robin Leonard just played, you know, 20 games a season, like, it was a huge win for him after what he had been through. And the fact that he is now leading the team, he's the likely game one starter for the, you know, the upstart team in the NHL is just unbelievable. And it's so cool. And you know what, like, we talk about the people just not paying attention or still like piling on the Islanders every chance they can. And Robin Leonard is like the perfect guy to just be like, you know, shut the hell up. Like, he's the guy that I would love for him just to keep playing this way and be, you know, the harbinger of this team. And he's kind of developed into it. Yeah. He's just so steady back there. He's so steady. And I'm like, when he lets in a goal, like, he very internally gets upset. Like, you see him like probably just say like "fuck" in his like under his mask, and then snaps right back into it the next second. Like, the first 13 seconds of the Jets game when he let in that goal, it's like you saw him get pissed off at himself, and then he was just, you know, serene, and he's like chaotically calm, if that makes sense.
And that wasn't like, I mean, he let in four goals in that game, and I wouldn't say, I mean, there was one that kind of slipped under his glove, but he also made like a series of spectacular saves. The one we all saw where he like sprawled out kind of like half on his back, half on his side to stop, I think it was Mark Scheifele. And like, that's just kind of how it is. And like, you know, again, as Islanders fans, we're kind of used to kind of all or nothing, you know, either they're getting blown out or they're blowing somebody out, or you know, either some guy's making all the spectacular saves and not getting any goal support, or he's not making any saves at all and they're getting blown out. So he was a guy who, you know, that's the kind of game you have to kind of battle back through. I know that's a cliche, but yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. I wonder if it's worth even asking, although I'm not going to be in a position to ask, like, where was he exactly a year ago? Like, where was Robin Leonard on March 30th, 20, 18. Like, I mean, was he, I think he maybe had left the Sabres, you know, for personal reasons and maybe was on his way to rehab, or maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was kind of in the, you know, the darkest time of his depression and abuse problems. So I guarantee that wherever he was, he didn't expect to be here a year later on Long Island, you know, getting the applause from the crowd, people chanting his name as they clinch a playoff berth. And yeah, I mean, he's really, I mean, you know, you could find metaphors in anything, but he's definitely one of the people who is representative of this team and their kind of rise from nowhere to here, which is crazy.
And you saw how much he means to like the rest of the team too, like the Lee tackle and then the hug and the embrace between him and Matt Martin. Because you know, here's another one. Like Matt Martin was a healthy scratch last year. He was on a good team, but he was being healthy scratched every game, and he clinched a playoff. He even said like when he signed with the Leafs, I'm still an Islander fan. Like if it's the Leafs don't win the Stanley Cup, I'm rooting for the Islanders to win the Stanley Cup.
I remember he said that.
So a year ago, like he then. You know, it's healthy scratch, and now he's one year later is clinching a playoff spot for the Islanders at Nassau Coliseum, the building that he came to love, and he's just gives this guy a gigantic bear hug at the end, and the two of them they said something. It's just a beautiful, beautiful picture and moment, and there have been so many of those like kind of emotional like things that most teams like. Sure, when the Pittsburgh Penguins clinch their playoff spot in, you know, 20 minutes or whenever they're going to do it, there'll be a nice little hug between, you know, Sidney Crosby and Matt Murray, but it's going to, or whoever, Casey DeSmith, whoever's playing goalie, and it's going to say, all right, let's like, you know, business isn't done. Whereas for the Islanders, it was like this really emotional thing. And you saw it on all their faces from the second that Jets game ended through this game last night. Like, there has been just, it's been an emotional couple of days for this team and the fan base, and it's awesome.
Yeah. And of course, the guy at the center of all that, who we would not be here talking about this team if it were not for him, is Barry Trotz. And again, you know, at the risk of repeating ourselves, he is another guy that gets it. And he is another guy. Everything he says, it shows that he gets what is happening right here. And he appreciates it. He understands it. He's been through basically everything you can be through as an NHL coach, from an expansion team to a Stanley Cup champion, having, you know, all, or to having all of the pressure on you versus none of the pressure on you. And without him, they are not here. And it's just, you know, from pregame when he's like, we need our crowd to be behind us. We need you to be positive so that we can be positive. Like, he knows exactly what he's saying, and he knows how to get reactions out of players, and it's showing that he knows how to get reactions out of the fans too, which is pretty remarkable. And then after the game, you know, he says these things that are just like out of a book. Like, he's like, our backbone, our strength has been our backbone, not our wishbone. I don't know if he wrote that or he just made it up, but like, if you hear him say stuff like that and you want to play well for him, and I can't even skate, but I just, you want to believe in this man and you want to follow what he says. And like the fact that he was an outsider, I think is a huge thing. And him and Lamoriello as well, like they came in from outside the organization and have completely changed how this team sees itself and how people see it. And how we see it and how they operate. And I think had they been like internal guys, I don't think you would get that same reaction. And I'm not trying to take a shot at Jack Capuano or Doug Waite. I'm just saying that I feel like that lends itself to the feeling of a turnaround here. Like, these guys are new and they have come in with new ideas and new feelings and new tactics. And it's made for a new season. And again, they're winning games that they would not have won previously under previous administrations. And that's pretty much a testament to the coaching staff that is all completely new, except for one guy. He's the only guy that we kind of complain about, Scott Gomez. But it's he had the smile on. The post-game thing was great. He's talking about different players and who played well. And Ryan Pulock, he said, was the best player on the ice. And it was just awesome. I mean, the whole thing. I love this guy.
I love him too. Like, he's a guy that, I always get a little jealous of Lane Lambert at the end of every win because he gets to give him just a great handshake. And yeah. I want to be that guy to give him a big hug and a kiss on the cheek, or on the top of his head when the Islanders win it.
Did anybody ever chant Barry Trotz at a Predators game? Or Capitals game? I don't think they did.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, maybe like for the first game at the Capitals, like his first win or whatever. Who knows? But probably not. And the point is that this is a fan base that has just, we've just been just through the grinder so many times that when someone good like shows us any bit of, you know, love and hope and positivity and loves us back the way we love them, like we are going to show it. There's like 30,000 of us, but like we will give you more unconditional love than anybody else you've worked for in your entire life. And he gets that. And you like, I mean, the smile on his face after the Winnipeg game was like, I honestly thought he was about to cry. I mean, I know it's where he's from and stuff, but he just like had this look on his face like we did. Like, it was a shitload to digest that they won that game in the style they did in regulation. And like, he was definitely not expecting it because the look on his face when that, you know, buzzer sounded was priceless. And then the smile on his face when, you know, people were chanting his name at the Coliseum again. Yeah. Like, he's having the time of his life. He would never, ever, ever say it, but like, I really wonder if you'd be like, you know, if you could put the two seasons together, you want a Stanley Cup with the Capitals, but this season is like magical and you are just being, if you are the toast of an entire island, like what would it be? And that's so hypothetical and not even worth getting into, but like, that's just like, this guy won a Stanley Cup last year. And I think he's been emotionally like, maybe more emotionally touched in this one. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's really crazy to see.
He has said that at some point last year, or maybe it was from the previous summer and then carried through last season. Like, he put much less pressure on himself, and he decided to enjoy it more, and he became very zen. I don't know if that's the word he used, but that's the way it came off. And he became very kind of, you know, he was more laid back, and he was more relaxed. And the players on the Capitals kind of picked up on that. And you saw, and we all saw the regular season. It was good. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't as like they weren't as pushing the play as often as they had, and you know they maybe didn't score as much as they used to. But I mean, they had a totally very good regular season. But nobody was thinking of them as the Stanley Cup champion. Nobody thought that was going to be the year. They had been so good so many years before and didn't win it that nobody thought that year, where their regular season numbers had been kind of dialed back a couple of notches, was going to be the year. And sure enough, it turned out to be the year. So I think he's carried that over to this spot on the island too. But I feel like, you know, like Long Island has a sense of humor about itself. And this is like what I was saying when I posted the Leonard thing, you know, some people were like, you know, upset at the language or whatever. And I was like, do you have any idea where we come from? Like, you know, this is, you hear that, you hear worse sitting on traffic in the LIE, and that everybody's in their own cars, you know, like, and you can hear people cursing from 10 cars away. Like, it's just, it's how it is. I mean, you know, you try not to have your kids do it, but at the same time, like, that's just how we are here. And there's a vibe and there's a sense of humor. And I think Barry has definitely tapped into that, which again, he gets to him like kind of smile, you know, kind of talking about how we're booing, fans boo 30 seconds into a power play doesn't help. And he's still smiling. And he's like, you know, I know that's going to get on Twitter and it's going to be a thing, because he gets it. I think that's when I say like he didn't have people tweet, you know, chanting his name at games. I think that's kind of an indication of like, we are a creative, fun group. I mean, look at the first John Tavares return game. I mean, my God, those chants were amazing. And they were, like we talked about, they're all organic. Nobody sent out like a memo or a flyer like, hey, let's chant this. They just did it. You know, like two or three guys start doing it, and before you know it, the entire arena's doing it. And because it's funny, and that's just kind of how we are. And again, the people that don't pay attention to the Islanders and aren't really into it, they don't know it and they don't get it. I mean, let's face it, most media outlets treat the Islanders like they play on another planet. I mean, the number of times I saw the Sabres are in Long Island today to play that. Like, dude, come on. This team's been around 47 years. It's on Long Island. How hard is this? The Sabres posted like, oh, we're in Long Island today. Dude, you guys are an NHL team. It's on Long Island. I don't get it. I really don't. It's unbelievable. But that's exactly indicative of like the kind of attention that the Islanders get paid. Nobody can even get the damn pronouns right or whatever it is. Like, it's just, give me a break. But I feel like Trotz is connected with this team. I feel like he has the kind of sense of humor that Long Islanders appreciate, that and we have the kind of humor that he appreciates. And it just, again, it all lends to that sort of connectivity that we've all experienced. And yeah, this is, I mean, we talked a little bit about this before, but This is not just a surprise season where the Islanders have made the playoffs after being, you know, written off. It is that, but it's also the best regular season they've had since the dynasty in terms of points. This is the first time they've clinched a playoff berth at home since 2002, a season we all remember pretty well. And that's 17 years ago. This is the first time they have clinched a playoff berth in March since 1990. And
the year I was born.
Yeah, that's like crazy. And then it's with a little bit of luck and maybe the Caps, you know, lose a game here or two there, they could win their first division for their division for the first time in 31 years. I mean, that's all preposterous and it's all one season. Yeah. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Again, this is not a fluke.
It's what it's all about. It's like the whole point of sports is this kind of season.
Yeah.
And it's so beautifully ironic to see that the you know, big wig media people are missing that. They're just completely missing that point. They're like, "What? No, it's not. Like this is not how it's supposed to go. This is
well, you're going to be out in the first round. Yeah, yeah. Shut up. Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah, I can't wait for the jokes. This, you know, the Penguins will. Let's see who the Penguins and Hurricanes are playing to see for the right to beat the Islanders in five games of the first round. Like, go right ahead. But the Trotsky, he strikes me first of all as someone who is a great Seinfeld kind of fan. Like, he just seems like that kind of sense of humor. Like, he embraces the absurdity of it all. And
he looks like a man that enjoys a good pun, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's just a great, you know, I would love to just sit with him for like 10 minutes over a coffee or a beer or something. Just like, yeah, listen to him. He gets it. And it's not even just when it's say, like, just if you watch his body language on the bench too, it's the same way. You just like, you see he's like almost reflective of his, I like almost feel like I'm reflecting what he's doing on the bench. I'm like, oh, he's smiling and I'm looking, you know, I'm like, oh, wait, I'm smiling right now too. Like, it's like, I'm just like naturally following what he's doing. Right. He's just that kind of leader. God, we're so lucky to have him. And I think that's the other thing, right? This is a team and a franchise that doesn't make sense. It probably shouldn't exist. Like if the NHL could go back and say in time and say, should we put a team on in the suburbs in this building that is like built for 1972 in 1972 and that's it? Like, would we do it? They'd say no. And Islander fans don't take that for granted, that this franchise, like, and we don't take anything for granted, and we don't take this kind of season for granted, which is why even if the Islanders get swept by the Penguins in the first round of the series, Brock Nelson in 20 years, if he comes into, you know, the Coliseum Deli, he's not paying for a sandwich. Like, there will be somebody in that place that will buy him his sandwich for him because he got swept in the first round of a playoff series. Because and that's just the type of people we are. Like, if I saw Kit Miller on coming down, you know, walking down the block, I would give him a hug. And yeah, he didn't. They didn't win this series. Like, that's just the type of people, like the type of fans we are. Like,
dude, Mark Parrish. Mark Parrish is a beloved
is
Islander.
A toast, like, of town.
Yeah, he really is, and he's earned it. I mean, he's a good dude. He was a good player on a team that, you know, didn't get out of the first round. But hell, if we love Mark Parrish, like, we just do. It's funny. I totally agree with you. I mean, let's hope they don't get swept in the first round. But yeah, I mean, this has just been a season that you know, this is what it's all about. And so, you know, we need to enjoy it whether people do or don't. It's been a lot of
timing,
fun.
The timing of this is perfect, too, because of the game tomorrow.
Yeah.
Probably Monday. Because there's like this video today that TSN put out about John Tavares saying, you know, he knows tomorrow is going to be annoying, too. Like, fans are going to be booing him. We are. It's still well deserved, but at this point it's like almost like we've moved on from it. Like, listen, we already showed you exactly how we feel. We made you feel this big in this place, and I'm, you know, putting my two fingers together. You can't see it because it's not TV, but you know, we made him feel like an ant in this building that, you know, he's quote unquote loved, and he's gonna come in again tomorrow, and he's gonna get shit on again for 3 hours, and it's gonna be another celebration because the Islanders without him are having their best season in, you know, 20 something years, and he's missed out on it, and we're gonna be thrilled to show him that, and it's gonna, I think, it honestly might be even more. Like, he might be more unsettled by tomorrow than he was on February 28th, just because the vibe is going to be so happy rather than us sitting on eggshells, like, nervous if the Islanders are going to win or lose, but because it doesn't really matter. Like, we're in the dance. Like, this is great.
Right. I feel like the "we don't need you" chant is going to be used a lot. And I feel like if Anders Lee has a good game, you're going to hear that's our captain a lot too. I think they're going to kind of focus on those two. Real quick, we were going to do an episode after the Leafs game, but now that they've clinched, it was more fun to do it now. And then we'll talk. I guess at the end of the other end of the last three games that they have. But I don't know what the Leafs clinching situation is like. I don't know what their magic number is. I don't care. I'm not going to look it up. But I feel like regardless, the Islanders are going to want to win that game. And if the Islanders do win that game and the Leafs clinch because, the Canadians lost or something like that halfway across the country, well, so be it, they're going to back in like that. I don't think the Islanders, despite the fact that they're already in, I don't think that they're going to just sort of like write the game off. I feel like they're going to come in and that's another Trotz thing too. Like, I just feel like he's not going to let them off the hook. And he even said, like, I want them to enjoy it. I want them to celebrate, but not too much because the job isn't done. We still have games to play. And all the players seem to kind of echo those thoughts. I mean, especially Casey Zekas, he said something like, well, yeah, we got more games to play here. So, I'm hoping that they can continue the mastery of the Leafs. The Leafs are going to want to come in and win. Apparently they played really well against the Senators and just got kind of shackled by whoever the goalie was. And, they're going to be in for a different kind of game against the Islanders, I hope. So we'll have to see what happens. But, I'm going to have to seek out that TSN video, I guess, although part of me doesn't even want to watch it because I already kind of...
Yeah, you don't even need to watch it. The caption tells you the story. It's basically like, he basically says it is what it is at this point. And it's just like... Yeah. This is great it's just great because it's like still it's going to follow him around. Like the Islanders, this whole thing is going to follow him around now, and he made a mistake by leaving. Like the whole he went for the standard sports story while we're over here, living the best season that basically 90% of the fan base has ever been through. Maybe that's too many, but at least in my contemporaries, I was born in April 1990, so like this is by far in a way. 2001, 2002 comes a little close because it was so they had not made the playoffs in so long, and then the maybe the last year at the Coliseum, but is like the third place team. But this is by far the best and most enjoyable season just because of the amount of shit that was piled on us in the beginning, and it was also like the fact that we weren't even picked to be like Senators bad too is really funny to me because people knew they're like, no, the Islanders will be good enough to be like to like get to right. 80 points. Like I said, like there will be the team that I felt
it seemed
for it,
like 79, 78 mm-hmm. points was kind of the average that people would give them,
Yeah, exactly. Like they'll be good enough to be annoying and maybe like hanging around, but like they'll just be basically what they're saying is John Tavares is gone. The Islanders are irrelevant. Yeah. And
also people clearly wanted to give Trotz some kind of due because he had just won, but they didn't expect him to actually, change the franchise or anything.
Yes, yeah. It was careful too. They got Barry Trotz, which was probably a good idea. It was probably the best thing that happened to any team in the offseason. Yeah. Better than the guy who left us.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Real quick, but at one point, I think Tavares should have "It Is What It Is" tattooed across his shoulders. Like, just that's what it, because that's his mantra.
Yeah,
that's his only thing. It is what it is. That's the only thing he ever says. According we talked about it before, but according to some report, I think it was the Jonas Siegel thing in the Athletic, he was really taken aback by it and really shocked by how it went. And if he was, well, then, John, this is exactly why you're not here anymore. Like, that connection just has been severed, apparently. That whatever connection he had with Islanders fans has been completely severed. But, in terms of, like, regular seasons, there's only been a handful of candidates that you could even put in the same neighborhood with this one. Obviously, 1993, which, was the best playoff series they had in a long time. 2000, and then there was pretty much nothing of note that happened that was good until 2002, which was a huge – that team was great. They came from 1 point from winning the division, had a great first-round series that they ended up on the wrong side of. What are you going to do? Then you have to skip ahead to 2007, right? The Ryan Smith year, which yes. again came to an abrupt, you know, kind of had this huge kind of sprint to the end, and then ending.
That season had its magic in little. There was a lot of magic in little doses, like little spurts, and like that was the season that game I was talking about with Sillinger. Like that game, like there was like these like 2 week stints where like, wow, the Islanders, this is magical. Then they traded for Ryan Smith, this is magical, and then they fell out of the playoff race, and then somehow went on a miracle run, and you're like, this is magical again, and then they lost in the closest five game series of all time, the Sabres, which right. the NHL still owes us one for that one.
Yeah, and then then you have 14-15. Regular season was awesome. Again, playoff series was really, really good. End up on the wrong side of it, and then the year later, regular season, not so good, but they won a playoff series for the first time since the first thing I mentioned, 1993. So, you know, the jury's still out on this one, but I mean, if they can win a round, you know, and again, we're about a week or so away from even having to worry about who they're playing, it instantaneously becomes the second best season they've had since 1993. Like, that's basically it. And, you know, you could probably, and if they win a couple of rounds, well, then look out 1993, basically is what I'm trying to say.
yeah. And then people always talk about that. I always get jealous when people talk about that 93 team, like, just because I wasn't old enough to know what was going on, and so like this is like basically I think for people in that range and born like maybe like 1988 and on, this is like that team, like this team has gone to they've got something going on. Like I just can't wait to see what comes next. I keep saying that too this whole year. Like I just can't wait to see where it ends up, and it's not even that, like, because I'm enjoying the hell out of the ride more than anything. Yeah. But I'm one of the things I'm very excited for is to see who their opponent is, and just how quickly the Islanders, no matter who it is, how quickly the Islanders are written off in the series. I just can't wait for that. Really, like, this you can the island maybe it's like 3 weeks ago the Islanders were probably they looked like the team you wanted to play in the playoffs. Hmm. If the Islanders play like they have for basically the majority of the games the last since they I don't know it was 2 weeks I guess now. They've been playing better. So if the Islanders played the way they did last night, no team in the NHL should want to play them in the first round.
Yeah,
no team.
They had those two shutouts, and then they played really well in the Detroit game, but lost. And then and the way they played against the Sabres, if they can do that, then they're definitely gonna cause some problems for whoever they play. Again, I hope to God it's not Carolina. I don't know what the score of the Penguins Hurricanes game is that's going on right now. I would feel less optimistic if they had to play Carolina than I would against Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh's no slouch either. So, but we're going to save that all for another time because I don't want to get into it. I want to enjoy the ride. We are going to leave. Normally we try and leave with something positive. I'm going to leave with something a little bit worrisome. I don't want to say negative, but we got some news today. So Val Filppula a couple weeks ago, turns out he had a shoulder injury. He's going to be out a couple of months. And the Islanders recall Tanner Fritz from Bridgeport to play third line center. Fritz came in, played well for a couple of games. Well, now he's out 6 to 8 weeks thanks to a blood clot between his fingers. This is from Lou Lamoriello's address earlier today. He said, talking about Fritz, he said he had a little bit of a blood clot between two fingers. So they had to do some surgery, and he'll be out 6 to 8 weeks. The operation was 100% successful. It's just the nature of this type of procedure that was done. It'll take a bit of time. He's fine. It's unfortunate for Tana, who came on and did so well for us. But as I said, he'll be fully recovered. So that's good to know that he'll be fully recovered. But it's not going to help the Islanders in the present. And as good as they've played in these last two games, they've been doing it with Leo Komarov at center, who is nobody's idea of a center. So good on the Islanders for getting, these two wins with that, that kind of lineup problems. They're going to need to do something, and I don't know what they can really do.
I don't know either. I was coming to my brothers in Maryland, and I was like going through it in my head, and I'm like, I wonder if like the last two games end up being kind of moot points if you just call up, out of Kovala and say let's just see how he does against in the NHL. Like, maybe if he shows up, but I don't think they'll do that. I really have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah.
You move Bailey or Pavilion to center.
Or Pavilion,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, you go through that whole thing again. I have no clue.
Michael Fornabio earlier tweeted that if you wanted to call up a center, I think he was talking to Islanders fans, but because nobody was really talking about it. But if the Islanders really wanted to call up a center, John Stevens would be the guy. I don't know what kind of season he's had for Bridgeport, but he's kind of a defensively responsible guy. He's been around for a long time. He's the son of former Kings and Flyers coach John Stevens. Let's look up Stevens's numbers. Let's see, what is he looking at these days? Stats. The Sound Tigers redid their website, and it looks a lot nicer, but it's still kind of cumbersome to use. Well, he's only got 7 points, so that's not good in 21 games.
It's going to be from New Jersey. If they call someone up, it's going to be friggin' Steven Gionta, isn't it?
I really hope not. That would really be a problem. Lou said that they don't plan on calling anybody up, although he said this before Fritz was called up too, but Lou said in that same press conference, we're very comfortable with the people we have here. We'll just go accordingly. So, we'll have to see how it works out. But that is suboptimal. And again, I don't want to take anything away from the two games. If anything, that makes the two games that the Islanders just played even more impressive, that they won with Leo Komarov at center, taking dumb penalties like he did in the Jets game, which almost derailed the whole damn thing, Leo. But... it's definitely something, and maybe they can go for these next three games of the regular season. They got the Leafs, obviously, then they got the Panthers on Thursday, and then the Caps on Saturday to close things out. So maybe they can make it through these three games with those guys. I think you get unlimited call-ups in the playoffs, I think. Is that true? Am I making that up? But
I feel like it's true, because teams that have like the Black Aces that end up being a Stanley Cup featurette on NCBC or whatever.
What I guess what I'm trying to say is that if they kind of go this week without calling anybody up, that might not be the end of the world, because the Sound Tigers have lowered their magic number to 2. So they're trying to make the playoffs too. Maybe keeping those guys there for the little while that they have is something that the organization wants to do. And, maybe once the playoffs actually begin, the Islanders will make a call up then, and they'll just kind of make a go of it with Leo here. Leo's going to play the game anyway, so what are you going to do? But that is something to worry about, and Fritz didn't play the game in Winnipeg, and we were all like, oh, that's not good, and Trotz was like, no, he's okay, and then today it's like, no, he's out 6 to 8 weeks because he had a blood clot in his finger. What? Are you kidding me? But, like we said when Val Filppula went down, when your team is really suffering because Tanner Fritz has gone down, that's a bad situation to be in. But hey, so far so good. I mean, they clinched, they're in, and looking forward to again maybe having a shot at winning the division still.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about this team is that it's that's not ideal, but their game isn't built around scoring from that position. So whoever does fill in, if it's John Stevens, or if it's freaking, Steve Bernier or whoever, the husk of a player that fills in that fourth line center, if it's Leo Komarov, their marching orders are going to be simple. It's like, listen, your job is just to make sure that whoever the person you're playing against is their job is really hard. That's it. And so at least it's not that. Like, you're not asking the world of somebody. I'm interested to see, who comes up. It really sucks because I thought Fritz was really ended up being kind of a perfect fit for what they wanted out of that spot.
Yeah, he played well. It's just, my man Scott Ensor, who was Matthew Barzell's old teammate from junior, he's not having a great season either. 9 points, 7 goals, 2 assists in 39 games. I think he was hurt for a while too. He's a center too. I would like to see him called up because he's my guy. He's Barzell's guy. I think that'd be pretty cool. But, if he's not ready, he's not ready. So just a situation to keep your eye on. Again, if nobody gets called up Monday or Tuesday, again, the Islanders have off Tuesday and Wednesday, so there's also a chance that somebody can get called up then. I don't think it's necessarily we need to freak out about it. I think they'll make a decision probably come playoff time, and we'll see what happens. This has been an effusive and joyous podcast, so we'll just make these things real quick. SneakyAthletic.com, put anxiety in the discount code box, you save yourself 10%. The playoffs are coming. Get the Fort Neverlose stuff. They have it there. Get the GOAT stuff with Barzell's heating up at the right time. SneakyAthletic.com. Save 10% by putting anxiety in the discount code box. This week's NHLNames.com. NHL name of the week is...
Howerluck getting after it.
Jace Howerluck. A man whose name I have never been able to pronounce. Panthers, by the way, a couple games over 500. So although they will be missing the playoffs for the 17th time in the past 20 years, Thursday's game will not be a cakewalk, I promise you. Be sure to check out NHLNames.com. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your most up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. Subscribe to us on iTunes and on Spotify. I forgot to mention that last week. You can find us on Spotify. So if you're listening to Spotify at work, throw us on. You can hear us there. You can obviously hear Isles Buzz too. It's under Lighthouse Hockey. You can find all of us there. Thanks to everybody who is supporting us and already subscribed and downloading. We really appreciate it. It's been fun so far, so we're going to see what else is going on. What else? Nothing else, right? What's you should follow Mike on Twitter. What's your Twitter account?
Yeah, I'm having it. It's the Big League of Basketball with two E's. I was just gonna say I'm having so much fun with everybody this season. I just can't. It's been awesome. Like I saw somebody in the city wearing an Islander jersey the other day, and like I'm seeing people with hats on and like So I'm going down to Maryland to my brother Kevin. He's a Ranger fan. He had
That's so weird how that works out. Everybody I know who's an Islanders fan has a brother who's a Rangers fan or a mother who's a sister.
Yeah, he's like directly older than me. So I have three brothers. I have two older and a younger brother and a younger sister. And like, so he's the one who's like directly above me. And he had a kid a couple months ago, and I went down to meet her, and I was, you know, kind of joking around with him and my family, saying like, I got to go this weekend because I can't. I'm not available between, you know, mid-April and mid-June because the Islanders, and you know, they honestly get it at this point. Like they're like, yeah, no, that's okay. But so I'm in that place again, the Penzi. I was meeting my sister. We were taking the bus down together, and I was waiting for her at the foot of an escalator, and some guy came up to me, and there was a ton of Ranger fans in there because it was the night the Rangers played the Blues at MSG, and this guy comes up to me and goes, "You're the only smart guy in this place." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he's like, "I had an Islander hat on." So he's like, "Dude, this team is so great." And we just sat there and we talked for 10 minutes. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm, you know," he's pointed to his girlfriend or wife or whatever. She was wearing a Caps hat. She's like, she's a Caps fan. I can't wait to go down there and win the division on their ice in a couple weeks' time. And I was just like, that would never happen in, you know, three years ago. Like nobody would, Islander hats, first of all, weren't, you know, people weren't wearing them in the city. It was very rare. And so like just that moment, and like that, me and that guy just, you know, just talked about how much we love this team and Barry Trotz. And we kind of ribbed the Capitals fans that we had Trotz now. And she's like, "I loved him so much. Like, I'm happy he's doing well with you guys." And yeah, it was just like just another moment in this like long season of really great, great moments. And I don't know, that guy was great.
That's awesome. Hey, if you're listening to the guy, that was pretty awesome. You made Mike's day. Look at that. On Wednesday, my wife and I and my our daughter, we went to a restaurant near us in central New Jersey in Old Bridge, and we sat down and we were eating all you can eat wings, and a guy two tables away from us was also wearing an Islanders hat, and I contemplated going over there and saying hello or something, but then he got up and left with the rest of his family, so I missed it. But again,
I've also been honking if I see Islander stickers, like no matter where I am, like I've just been doing the Let's Go Islander honk, and people have been responding, and it's just like this team is kind of captivating Long Island again. It's awesome.
No, it has been, and again, it's the kind of season that we have not seen here in a very, very, very long time, and it has been a lot of fun. And you can enjoy more fun if you follow Mike on Twitter at the Big Lebowski with two E's. So you should definitely do that. Thanks again for hanging out with us. This has been, you know, I know the show's called Islanders Anxiety, but we waited about 55 minutes before the anxiety kicked in, and that's been pretty awesome, you know. So this has been a lot of fun. We appreciate you hanging out with us, and I guess we'll be back in a week. I guess we'll try and do it after these next three games.
Yeah, unless the Islanders clinch the playoffs again.
or if they win the division, then all bets are off. What's going to happen? But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens against the Leafs on Monday, and then the final two games against the Panthers and Caps. And we'll be back. All right. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.